This evening, I want us to think about the Old and New Commandment. The Old and New Commandment. We're studying the book of 1 John, and this morning I spoke from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. This evening, I want us to look at verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth, he that saith he is in the light, hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. When we read letters, and we read a specified remedy to a particular situation, I think the rules of interpretation allow us to assume that specific problem existed. For instance, when Paul writes to Corinth, he specifically forbids the church to keep company any man that is called a fornicator. We assume from that specific injunction that there was a man in that church among the membership who was a fornicator. And as we read the book of 1 John, it is more than a number of simple platitudes that exhort us to love. John evidently is addressing some specific problems that existed in the Christians to whom he writes. And I've noted some of them perhaps a number of times. There were people in the congregation who were saying. What they were saying was not consistent with what they were doing. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Here were people who were saying, I have intimate, personal, close, spiritual fellowship with Jesus. And yet they were walking in an evil manner, in an evil way. And John said this is contradictory. It cannot be true because he is light. And when brethren walk in light and he's in the light and you say you're walking in the light but you're walking in darkness, then the conclusion is you're lying and you're not walking in light. You're walking in darkness. If we say that we have no sin, evidently, there were people who were saying that. If we say that we have not sinned, evidently, there were people who were saying that. And John said in verse 3 of chapter 2, And hereby we do know that we know him. That is, there is substantiating evidence when we say, I know him. And that substantiating evidence that we can use and others can use to substantiate the fact that we know him is that we keep his commandments. And when we abide, or at least when we say we abide in him, verse 6 of chapter 2, he that saith he abideth in him. There were people in this congregation who were saying, I abide in Christ I rest in Christ. I trust in Christ. I draw strength from Christ. I draw sustenance from Christ. He is my Savior. John said, when you say that, then you ought also to walk, even as he walked. And this word that's translated ought means you have an obligation. It is part of an agreement that exists. You ought to do what he did when you say, I abide in him. Now, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. There were probably some in the church who would receive this letter and say, John has invented something altogether different and new. But John writes, this is no new commandment, but an old commandment. And it is the commandment which you had from the beginning. Now we might speculate about that old commandment and what it might be if we didn't have clear, cut, definite, undeniable explanation found in the Word of God. The explanation is, the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. What is the old commandment? The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now this word old is a word that means existing for a long time. It doesn't mean that it has expired and therefore is of no further use. It simply means it has been existing for a long, long time. Therefore, it is referred to as the Old Commandment. And the old commandment is the word which you've had from the beginning. Now, I think that this word which they have had from the beginning, which John refers to as the old commandment, or the commandment of old would perhaps be a better expression, is further explained in the writings of Paul, Romans chapter 13, where he begins at, verse 9. For this, he states, is the 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Then in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and envy. What Paul is saying is that the old commandment to love fulfilled the law. And Jesus, whenever he was asked, what is the great commandment? He replied in Mark 12, 29 and 30 and 31. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is. Now that's the old commandment. The first, that means from the beginning, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now that's the beginning of the first commandment, the commandment from the beginning. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, the first commandment is what John calls the old commandment. It's been around a long, long time. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So the old commandment was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Old in that it's the first and the beginning of God's statement to mankind. Now, in verse 8, again a new commandment. All right? If we're not careful, we'll assume that there was an old commandment that was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus gave a new commandment. When you see the old commandment and the new commandment, you see that they are commandments to love. So they are the same commandment, literally. But the old commandment is the first commandment in that it had been in existence since the writing of Moses, and the new commandment is the restating of that by Jesus Christ. And it's new not in the idea of its concept, but it's a part of the new dispensation, just like the first statement was a part of the old dispensation. But it's exactly the same thing. In fact, John himself wrote in John chapter 13, if you'd like to read with me there, verse 34. Here's this statement by him. Notice verse 34 of John chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you. Now, it's not new in its concept. It's simply new in its statement, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It's new in this sense of the word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's new now in a new dispensation, and it is, ye shall love one another. Now, whether there's any difference there or not might be something to think about, but I doubt it seriously, because love doesn't love selectively. God's love is the model for our love, and God's love is not a selective love. In fact, when our love is bestowed selectively, it might not be love. It might simply be that we like someone or appreciate someone or would like to ingratiate someone to us. Now, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him. What thing is true in him? That he loved. And it was evident that he loved. Now notice, which thing is true in him and in you. There were people who did love one another, and who displayed that love one toward another. Now, I think we need to look at this verse 8. And you know, chapter and verses and division of the scriptures was made several hundred years after the original manuscripts were delivered. Just for convenience sake, and it is convenient, to have chapter and verses so that I can say chapter 2 and verse 5 and you can immediately find it, instead of saying look on your Bibles about 3/4 down and over to the left a little bit. That's the only way we'd know how to find it if it hadn't been divided into chapter and verses. A very good thing. The only problem with chapter and verses is that people get the idea that that's the way God delivered it. And we get to thinking that if there's a chapter division, brother, that just changes the thought right there. If there's a verse division, then there's something altogether different. But let me show you something. Notice in verse 8, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth, he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Does that make any sense to you? You see, there are a lot of verses that begin with the word because. We can start a sentence with because. Now, why is a person who walks in darkness, why is that such an unbelievable thing? Because the darkness is past. Now, I believe it's the kind of darkness that I read about in Romans chapter 13. Now notice this. It all fits very well. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly. What he's saying is that the light has come. Jesus is that light, the Bible tells us. He is the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. The Bible is called the light of God, the light of truth. So there is light, and if any man walks in darkness, it's because he chooses to walk in darkness. The darkness is past. There's light. The true light now shines. Now, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now, because hatred belongs in the dark period. Hatred belongs in the past, is literally what John's saying. It's a part of the darkness of past times and past circumstances. He that saith he is in the light, hateth his brother, is in darkness. The idea is that God is light. The truth is light. If we follow the truth, we walk in light, then we will not hate, because hate is of the darkness. Now in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That is, anyone who loves is in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And this word occasion helps me to understand why a person who is abiding in the light and the love of God is abiding in him, and a man who loves his brother, there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Because this word occasion means the beginning point, that from which anything proceeds, a starting place, a base of operations, an apparatus for beginning or accomplishing anything. All right? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no basis for beginning activity that will cause others to stumble in him at all. You know, you got to have a base of operations in order to build. You got to start the foundation. You got to start the footing. You got to pour things, get a solid footing. And John's idea is that when I love you, when I do something wrong and you do something wrong, there's just no solid ground for hatred to build upon. It just sinks away. There's no starting place. There's no base of operation. It'll just melt out of the way. It'll dissolve itself. It'll go away. And therefore, there is no stumbling block that is erected. Now you think about that. You know, people who want trouble can find something to make trouble over. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If you want to find fault, you can find fault. If you want to start trouble, you can start trouble. Because there's always enough loose ends. There are always enough things going on that people can decide, hey, this is an issue. I'll take it up and I'll make trouble out of it. There's always enough of that in anybody's life. Now, if a man loves his brother, whenever that situation arises, the love will be so strong and so effective that it'll never get a strong foothold and build to the point that the brother stumbles. And what we mean by stumbling is that you simply become less effective as a Christian. Brother Goodwin and I have worked together for a long time before we ever came here as pastor. And any time that he wants to, he can find fault with me. And any time I want to, I can find something that I can complain about with him. You say, well, it'd be very small. That's what I'm talking about. It would be very small. But if you want to make trouble, always make trouble over anything. You can make trouble over the color of the carpet. You can make trouble over whether it's hot or whether it's cold. You can make trouble over whether the steps are too high or the steps are too low. You can make trouble over whether the water cooler water's too cold and hurts your teeth or not. It's just whatever you, if you want to make trouble, there's always something that people can make trouble with. And you can use that as a base of operation and actually build on it. You can build and build and build and build until you build some big thing out of it. But if I love and if you love, those things are not the beginning. They simply will never hold up under love. Love crushes them. Love destroys them. And it's not a basis of it becoming a stumbling block. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no basis of stumbling in him. It simply won't hold long, drawn out, fault-finding complaints. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. It's again the same thing as saying, I know him, but I don't keep his commandments. We can't say, I love my Lord and I love my brother, but I also hate my brother. I love this brother and I hate this brother. He says, when we hate, we're in darkness. We walk in darkness and we're filled with darkness, because hate is a darkness issue. You can't hate in the light, okay? It's an impossibility. It's something that can't exist. I cannot live my life in the light, abiding in Christ and walking as he walks, and hate. They're incompatible. They will not coexist. I have to say, okay, I'm in darkness and I walk in darkness and I hate, because hate and darkness go together. Love and light go together. If you say I'm in light but I hate, then you've tried to make light and darkness compatible, and they're incompatible. I really think that there were some people here at this congregation whom John called my little children, and other places, there was a lot of anger, hostility, and maybe some deep-rooted problems between the people who attended and formed and made up this congregation. And there were probably people who were saying, I hate brother so-and-so. Now, you can't say both. You can't say, I hate brother so-and-so, okay? because hate and brother just won't go together. If he's a brother, you can't hate him. Now look at these things that we've already studied. What were people saying? Well, perhaps we should put it into the positive side. You can't say you love someone and seek to destroy them. Have you ever heard people say, well, I don't know, I loved him so much, but I just killed him. You know, a marital problem, and the wife says, well, I love my husband so much, and when he did so and so, I just loved him so much, I killed him. Or the husband says, I caught my wife running around, and I just loved her so much, I just up and shot her in a fit of love. Battered and bruised women, their husband just loved them so much they beat them up. If you believe that, you just simply are not thinking straight. It's not true. You don't hurt people. You say, well, you always hurt the people you love. Don't believe that. It isn't true. Now, maybe sometimes whenever we're trying to get our loved one's attention, we may do something real stupid. Love doesn't hurt. If you want to know whether what love hurts or not, read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and you'll not read in there, love hurts. Love doesn't hurt people. It doesn't seek to destroy. It doesn't seek to disrupt. It doesn't seek to get its way. Really, love is a very benign thing as it's directed toward other people. Anger and hatred. Love is very benign. It doesn't get even. Things of this nature. There's a difference in hate and being human. When I mean that, you need to be careful. Be very careful of the people who are always saying how much they love everybody. Be very careful all the people who come to you every time they see you and tell you how much they love you. Be very careful of that. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying be careful. The people that I have had create for me the worst problems that I've ever had in my life were the people who initially spoke constantly and continually of their love for me. Be careful when people are over profuse in their statements of love. Be very careful, not your husband and wife. Tell your wife you love her all the time, okay? I'm talking about Christian to Christian. Be very careful. People probably are trying to use you and manipulate you. And when you're not willing to be used and manipulated, they'll probably turn on you and then seek to destroy you. That's the kind of the attitude of circumstances like this. Well, it all sums up. We can't walk in darkness and say we're in the light. We can't say that we love and hate. We can't say that we know him and not keep his commandments. We can't say we abide in him and not walk like he walked. These are just inconsistent and incompatible things. I've heard this said, and it probably is true, that the greatest hindrance to the Christian church is inconsistency in its membership. I don't know whether that's true or not. I really don't have any way of taking a census or a poll. It could very well be true that our weakest part or weakest point is the inconsistencies of all of us. That might very well be true. I don't know.